Back for segment three with our special guest, Jim Geo from Triangle Package Machinery Company. Very excited for you to be here.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Great. So yeah, we just want to talk a little bit about, you know, NAV and Business Central and about yourself and, you know, what you do and what your background is and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Jim.
Well, thank you. So I've been working in IT for about 22 years, and actually I got in on accident. So I was working as a laborer for Cook County at the time, and I was going to culinary school at night. Wow. And my sister was kind enough to give me a job working on an IT help desk for a futures and commodities firm for the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange downtown. Nice. And I was working as tier one support. I didn't, at the time, I didn't even realize you could hook two computers together, much less all the things that are come out now. So really, I was helping end users get connected, and thankfully I had a really good boss at the time who was teaching me about networking and just going into more about like what computers can do beyond just the simple things of...
Right. Data entry and whatnot. Yeah.
Exactly. So it was really nice. So I finished culinary school, and I had a choice at the end of it. And I said, you know what? You know, water's going to boil at the same temperature, you know, to the end of time.
Right.
But
right.
when I got in, and you know, it was 97. I mean, everything was starting to pop. I mean,
yes.
It was just such a great time. So I'm like, you know what? Let's stick with the computers. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to stick with working in IT, and I'm I keep working on it. But what I tried to do was apply that hospitality approach to what I was doing. So people had a very bad opinion of IT when I first got into it. We were very condescending. We were very, you know, we're smarter than you are. And my approach was more, and it still is to this day, and I always tell my teams this, we can't sit down and do an accountant's job or do, you know, an order processor's job as quickly and as efficiently as they can. So have respect for that. They right. can't do our job. We can't do their job. We're going to fumble if we do their job. They're going to fumble if they do our right. job. So if you go into it with that humility and that respect, I think it translates. And I think that they are more willing to work with you. And I think you can get things resolved faster when your end users actually don't feel that you're talking down to them and that you're on a level playing field. So I took that sort of hospitality approach to working with people. And nowadays it seems to be, thankfully, it's the norm. But back when I got into it, it was very, you know.
Yeah.
That was a really new concept.
Yeah. I've never met anybody who had a culinary background that went into IT. Have you?
No, I don't believe I do.
Me either. So that's,
I'm really
that's
good
fair.
For office parties.
So, I was going to say, so how does this translate at all to us drinking beer here and tasting beer? And you can maybe taste those flavors or know what they are a little bit more?
You know what the sad thing is that cordon bleu education where you're sitting there drinking beer going, oh, wow, I took, you know, sommelier classes for, you know, a semester. And it's like, well, I'm going to apply it towards beer instead of wine now. But, hey, it all does translate. It goes back to that not being condescending part of what we do, you know, in hospitality.
That's great.
We should have really done our homework, Michael, and brought in a nice bottle of red wine.
If
we were really on
and had the reviews from whoever, so we could test.
Right, pretend like we know what we're talking about.
Most people that are reviewing wine are pretending to know what they're talking about. So,
as apparently beer reviewers are too.
Very horse blankety.
So from 1997, now you're at Triangle Package Machinery and whatnot. So what does Triangle actually do?
So we manufacture packaging machines primarily for the food service industry. We've been in business for 97 years.
Wow.
It's a family-owned company. We've operated in Chicago the entire time. So we are a very niche market company, but a very complex company. And what I love about this company is that they care very deeply about what the people that they're servicing need. So their customers, it's not just a matter of, this is our product, take it. We're actually trying to interact with our customers and saying, look, we know you bought 10, 20 machines off of us before. What does this particular machine need to look like? Every one of them is a new machine to us. And it definitely makes my job a little more interesting because the system has to be able to adapt to that that uncertainty and that craziness.
Right. And, you know, if you guys have been around for 97 years, you're obviously doing something right, which is amazing, 97 years. Do you know if it's always been in the Chicagoland area?
Yes, we've always been here.
That's great. So I remember it's probably been about 5 years since you guys chose to implement Dynamics Nav at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what made you really choose like Dynamics Nav, and why did you even want to switch to new software?
So the great part of this story is, and I think Ken may even be able to add on to this a little bit. I have had experience with Nav at previous companies, but walking into Triangle, they were in the process of looking at new ERP systems, and they were using a system called MK at the time, and they were looking at upgrading to the newest version of it, which was Infor's LN product. Mm-hmm. And when I was interviewing with them, they had explained that someone had told them that it was either going to be LN or Microsoft's AX. And during the interview process, I even had said, I go, you know what, you guys don't have to hire me, but I just have to tell you this. From what I've seen on the website, you're not an AX customer, you're a NAV customer, maybe even GP. I said, but go look at NAV. I go, just, I don't want to see anybody get robbed. And off of that, when I eventually got the job, they brought me in, and NAV was technically just supposed to be a way of validating that LN was the right product to go with.
Oh.
So much so that even one of the people that was one of the decision makers was actually a salesperson for the product at one point in time.
Really?
And when I walked in, LN was going to be the product that we went with. And NAV was just to verify that this is LN's the way to go.
Yeah.
As Ken will tell you, there was a lot of hoops to jump through. We gave a lot of scenarios and wanted to break NAV. And couldn't.
Really?
And by the end of all of the testing and everything, what started off as just the, we're just doing our due diligence, turned into, there's no way we can't go with this product.
Nice.
So it's really speaks volumes about how powerful NAV is. When it came in as the underdog and really came out as the clear-cut decision, the clear-cut choice for what we would go with.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good if you're just trying to use NAV to validate not to go with the other software, and it turns out to be the one.
And I worked with Jim and the team when we were doing the evaluation of the product, and I thought from the get-go they were a really good candidate for NAV, primarily because of the fact that they needed a financial management system, right? All of your typical financials. Also managing inventory, also doing manufacturing, and then also servicing that equipment that eventually got manufactured and sold, right? And so one of the, I think, strengths of NAV and Business Central is that you have a pretty deep level of functionality across all those different things, which a lot of times it's hard to find, where you have this piece, but this piece is missing.
Right.
So I think NAV looked like a really good platform. And what I really appreciated about the Triangle team when they were evaluating is that they didn't give to us a list of like 500 requirements. Although there were, right? There's probably thousands of requirements that companies have like this. But they provided, I think, like maybe three scenarios with a little sample set of data even. That said, hey, do this. Let's see you do this.
I guess.
And it was a very a difficult scenario, with switching out components from production orders and planning and so on. So I think we were able to demonstrate that. So I appreciated them coming to the table with, hey, these are the real core requirements. And this is the price of entry, mm-hmm. right? So you do this, then let's talk further, right? And that's kind of how it was. If you can't do this, we're not going to even talk. But I think, once we showed we could do it.
And it was almost meant to trip you guys up.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, there's no way that they can do this. And it almost seemed like, here's a hoop to jump through. And then Ken did it.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Now we're going to light the loop on fire. Now jump through it again. Now we're going to make you jump the shark. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just really just, it's like we kept throwing things at it and throwing things at NAV, and just it every time it came out ahead. And it was just, it came to a point where, how can you not go with it?
Yeah.
And that's really what was the end result for us. And to that point, though, it made SSI a clear choice for us as well, because one of the things that we loved about it is, you know, I'd mentioned that we're a, you know, a 97-year-old company and we're family-owned and we've been in the Chicagoland area for so long. Really, you don't want, you know, for us, working with Ken, working with the team, it just seemed more like a good fit for us. One of the things I like to do is present things to our executive team and let them come to their own decision, because I think if they feel like they've been forced down a path, yeah, they'll end up rejecting it.
But for sure.
Here's your options. What do you think? And really, at the end of it all, NAV became the choice, and they said, you know what, SSI seems like the kind of company that fits our values. We're a family company. This seems like a family business. You know, to say that, you know, Ken was working on this, well, Ken, you're the president of the company, so that we've got that type of access to people in the company that are this invested in working with us. You know, we were looking at other companies as well, and we didn't get that same feel. Mm. Now, the beauty of it is I already knew that going into it, but
yeah,
I let everybody else come to that decision on their own. So it definitely made things go a lot smoother, and I think the fit was so much better for a company like ours.
Very nice, very nice. So once you guys decided to go with NAV and with Solution Systems as well, what are some of the benefits that you guys realized once Dynamics NAV was actually deployed?
I think one of the benefits and detriments all at the same time is the visibility that it gave us into our actual data. And it's a very scary thing. And one of the things I used to say to everybody, like even when we were initially quoting the product, I would tell people, this is going to uncover a lot of our dirty secrets that we were unaware of. This is going to pull a lot of skeletons out of closets. This is going to just really scare you, because I don't think, and no company really knows this when you're, and we were coming off of a, practically a green screen system.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know. This is going to highlight all those deficiencies. This is going to highlight all of those gaps. So
it's good though.
Oh, it's a, right? It's a beautiful thing. It's right. But scary.
It's also scary. Yes.
And I think, and that's what I was trying to prepare everybody for, is it's going to be scary.
Yeah.
And
maybe
these
we're
are
not
good
as
things
good as
though.
We think we are.
Oh, definitely. And one of the big things I wanted to make sure that everybody understood going into this is, know that and let's respond to it, and let's use NAV appropriately, and let's use SSI appropriately to address those types of issues and those deficiencies that we're finding in our processes and in how our data is being transmitted. So
nice. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Great reasons to choose NAV. So you guys had NAV then for 5 years or so or whatnot. Everything's working pretty well and things are going good.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you guys choose to upgrade to Business Central earlier this year then?
So really, and one of the things I stressed heavily when we were going live is that this should be a non-event. It's going to be very stressful for the end users to change their environment that they're working in. Like I said, you're going out of this very green screen type of system where people are used to just randomly number punching. They don't know what they're doing. They're just pushing to enter,
right,
shift up. That does something. NAV doesn't work that way. So I think one of the big things that I was stressing to everybody is this is phase one. Phase one is I want you to get into it. I want you to be able to perform your job. I want to make sure we don't shut the doors.
Right.
And then once we're comfortable and we're to a level area where we've got our feet underneath us, we're feeling good, and that my end users are empowered and they feel strong about what they're doing, then let's start putting change in. Because I think that's where most ERP system implementations fail, is everyone's trying to put in a new system and let's fix all these problems that we had and let's do this and let's... Yeah, that's going to inevitably bomb because you're doing too much change at once.
Yeah.
So really, I wanted to get everybody to a nice level spot. Everyone's stable. Now let's bring in the upgrade and let's start changing things. So after 3 years, I think we were really at a point where we were like, you know what? Our end users are extraordinarily comfortable. They're managing themselves. They know this system very well. which is a testament to Nav, because once again, coming out of green screens, and they're navigating their way through things and able right. to easy troubleshoot use. Things, and it's just it was such a great system for us. So it got to the point where we're like, okay, now's where we're going to get our payoff. Let's do the upgrade. Let's start realizing some of these enhancements and some of these features that we want to change about us, and really look at what's out there. And to use the current system, I mean, it was 3 years outdated at that point in time, so let's get right. something new in here because there's new features.
So you went from like green screens. I'm guessing that version was there for a long time.
Over 20 years.
Wow. 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So then you get Nav, and then within 4 or 5 years, able to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Easier than a whole new implementation. But I heard something that I thought was important, which is like when you're implementing or even upgrading, phase one, do what you're doing today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's how I would say that.
Exactly.
And then get comfortable, get settled down. Now take on some, don't overbuild up front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead, get some confidence, some return on your investment, and then add right. pieces.
Because it's fairly easy to overwhelm users if you throw everything at them at once, and then they don't know how to do things, and issues happen, things happen.
Oh, sure. And I think the other problem is you don't know what it results to expect. So, I mean, if we're doing the exact same processes that we're doing from our old system to our new system, I know what the outcome should be. Whereas if we start changing too much, I don't know what that outcome is going to be. So I kind of like, here's what the outcome is. But there's these holes there. There's missing financial data. There's this. There's these parts of this whole workflow that are missing. Nav's identifying it. We're still getting the outcome that we need, but it showed us where we're losing money or where we're not able to track things. So to that point, I mean, doing the same things that you can do in your old system and your new system, I think, gives you a expected outcome. And I think mm-hmm. it makes the implementation process easier.
Yeah.
One of the things I didn't mention, though, just even to really point out how Nav was such a strong system, we had two botched implementations prior to Nav. So prior to me coming on board, there were two bad ERP implementations where they tried to upgrade into newer systems or change over systems.
Oh.
So they were really set on going to LN because we tried changing systems and it blew up.
Yeah.
And then we tried doing it up and it blew up. So just to really highlight how good Nav was, salesman on staff, 20 years using the same system, two botched changeovers, and Nav still
wow.
really showed itself off and showed how powerful it was.
It's a good testament to Nav then.
Mm-hmm.
Slash Business Central.
I agree 100% with that. But also, I think it's also the team of people at any company who are responsible and right for implementing the key users and the management team. There has to be buy-in at the top level, and people have to know there that it's a priority, and that yeah, it may be tough here. You got to learn this new system and do your current job,
mm-hmm.
but we want to get it done as soon as possible. So that buy-in from the top level, and then the people that actually train and do their work and make sure yeah. things they understand how they're going to do things. To me, that's maybe even more important. But those are the two key pieces, right? Obviously, you have to have the right software mm-hmm. for your business, but it's that people internally to make those decisions on how to get that job done. I think
nice. So you guys are using Business Central now. What's next? Any great features you're looking forward to, or?
Anything related to AI is going to be huge for us.
Oh.
You know, we really want to get into more of the predictive aspects of BC. You know, and to Ken's point from before, I mean, we have a phenomenal key user community, and actually just a great community of users in general. One of the things that I think has made us successful throughout this entire process is my job has really been to orchestrate a lot of what's happening. Our end users have done a lot of the heavy lifting. They've because if I bring out a solution, I'm going to take a very IT-related approach to it. This makes sense. This mm-hmm. is how you should do it. That's not the way that I like to run my departments or do anything that I any systems that I implement. I want the end users to actually own it. And with good key users, they will take ownership of it. So really, my job is more of like a landlord, per se. I want to basically, don't wreck my building, but how you choose to decorate your apartment and what furniture you choose to put in it, I'm good with that. If you're going to knock out a wall, call me.
Yeah.
Let me know what you're doing first.
Nice.
That's more the approach I like to take with it. And what's been so helpful with that is that, as I mentioned, we have phenomenal users, but that ownership in the system has let it grow because they take it personal now. They feel that this is my system. This is, you know, the purchasing module is mine, the planning module is mine, the finance module. These are my things. Don't get in them. And they're very protective of it, but they're also very knowledgeable of it. So with the upgrade process, you know, it was very good because really what I did was make sure that the systems were in place, make sure that, you know, we had the right servers, that we had enough memory allocated, you know, resources, all of those things. The end users were the ones that were saying, this is what's broken, this is what's not broken. This is what's working, this is what I don't like. One of the things that we did on this upgrade that I thought worked very well for us was I gave all of our key users laptops running Business Central. So what they were able to do is, because really when you do the pilot tests or all of your other mm-hmm. scenarios, you're going to make a list of like 5 or 6 items because, okay, these are the things we do every day. And they're going to test them and it's going to work. Here's a laptop. Put it next to your desk. Run a process. When you're done doing that, go onto the laptop and try that same thing through Business Central. And we were able to find so many more things that weren't up to our customizations or they weren't mm-hmm. working right. So we, in that step, were able to find it. So that when we went live, it was honestly a non-event. We never shut down. We had a couple of weird hiccups in the morning, but nothing that where anybody was, none of the shareholders were calling me and going, what's going on here? So, and the end users did not lose faith. And that's the biggest part is if the end users have faith in what you're doing and if the end users have faith in the system and maintaining that, that keeps it moving forward.
They're willing to keep going, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, very nice. So,
I love that analogy of the landlord.
The landlord?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
It's pretty good.
That's very good. You could probably create a whole, you could write a little short story or book.
Yeah.
About that, expanding on that whole concept.
Well, totally. That's really, and it goes back to that respect for the user. I can't tell somebody in purchasing or in planning how to do their job very well. So you know what? Make it yours. And I think that ownership gives people that pride in what they're doing and their pride in the system. And it at the end of the day, it grows the system. So it makes NAV or BC, now BC, more valuable to the company because it's doing more than our old system could have ever done. And really, like I said, all I want to do is make sure that you're not breaking anything. You know, you're not doing anything that's, you know, tearing the system down or doing things that it shouldn't be doing. So it's been very helpful, and I think treating it like you said, like an apartment.
Just don't knock down any walls.
And then I'm fine with it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So that's all the questions I've got for Jim. What about you, Ken? Anything? Good.
Yeah, I think I'm good. The only other kind of question that I had was, you know, if you look in terms of, you know, we've talked about how, you know, we as a Microsoft partner are your primary contact point. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any impressions or thoughts just on Microsoft in general and the approach they've taken and what they're up to? Thoughts on that?
I really like how Microsoft is, to me, focusing more attention on BC. I always felt like it was kind of like, it's a great product, and it just sort of was a consistent product, and we don't really need to focus a lot of attention on it. And now it really seems like it's getting that spotlight, and the integrations that they're putting into it, and how they're tying it into all of the other Microsoft products, really seems like they're taking it more seriously, if you would, and it's really turning into more of a enterprise application. I mean, I think it always has been, but I think really now it's going to that next level where it's just you can run your whole business off of this software, and it's very seamless and very intuitive to the end users, and that's really what's huge.
Yeah, they're really focusing, I think, on being cutting edge with extensions, apps, and all that type of stuff. So I agree completely.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for joining us today. We're gonna include you in the rest of our segments here throughout the rest of the podcast here. But I just wanted to say thank you for attending. Happy to have you.
Thanks for all the input. We truly appreciate it.
No, and I appreciate it too. Thanks so much for having me here. I love this opportunity, and I really, for people that are looking at NAV or using NAV, I mean, I love the opportunity to be able to express my pleasure with it, just because it's nice for other professionals in the industry to share their experiences and things that help them get through certain things like upgrades and expectations and change management. So those little tidbits, I think, can always be helpful.
Definitely, 100%.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thanks. Next, we're going to talk about the featured app, which is a document customizer. So,
all right.
We'll be back.